Hello, you colourful shrew.
Sorry, I'm just...
Just showing me your lovely armchair. You really are an old man, aren't you? Are you plodding around in your fucking clogs?
No, I'm just getting a... I just dropped some tea on myself.
Fucking hell. The old false teeth not working proper now.
Don't think I won't hunt you down.
You're going to hunt me down. I'll fucking deliver myself.
With my bare hands.
There's also quite a large contrast in... You're wearing some lovely jeans and a jumper there. And I actually really like that jumper. Cable knit. Very nice. I'm sat here in pants, mate. Not a problem.
No stylish, thanks, bro. Man.
They're about as big as an elephant, to be honest. They could literally kick a horse to death. Just saying.
Yeah, I'm sure, mate. If it gets, you know, if you get that desperate...
If any horses in the apocalypse, then... start getting wild and buckarooing out here, they're getting kicked.
There's actually a good story behind this jumper is that I went into Crew. You know the company?
I'm Crew? Familiar. Quite fond of them.
Yeah. I went into Crew in Exeter and they had this in sale. It was down from 70 quid to 50 quid.
All right.
And then I was like, nah, I still can't justify that, even if I do love it. And then so I left. And then a couple of weeks later, I went back in. And they still had the sale on, and it was like the last end items. And this was on sale for £19. So I was like, I'm having that.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah, nice jumper.
Fuck you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Crew stuff lasts.
Yeah, it does. It's good quality, isn't it?
Yeah. It's worth it. I mean, I'm still not paying 70 quid for a jumper, but if you can find their stuff for cheaper,
yeah, it's well worth it.
Crew and Ralph Lauren, as much as they, as overpriced they as they are, if you can find them for
cheap,
then...
I've got a pair of black trackies. They're Ralph Lauren, right? And it's a similar story to yours, funny enough. I'd popped into what's it called? It's in Southampton, in the Quay.
It's the
John Lewis. That's what I'm thinking of. It's in the corner there, the big John Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
I'd popped in. I can never afford fuck all now. I don't know why I ever pop in. But I just so happened to go in, and, like, if you go upstairs and right to the back, there was one little rail of reduced stuff. And I thought, I'll have a little goose at that. Fantastic. I found this pair of black trackies, and they were about 18 quid, £20, something like that. And I meant, you know, meant to be like 65. Yeah. It's a fucking good deal.
Yeah, and they're well comfortable, I've had them as well, aren't they?
4 or 5 years now as well. I mean, pretty good.
So, what else has been happening in your life then? What,
I had a cold over the weekend. That was nice.
It was
my weekend gorgeous. Off, wasn't it? And I had to call in sick on Friday. And then I had Saturday, Sunday, Monday off anyway. So it sort of worked out all right. But fucking hell, that was bad. Like, you know, normally when you get a cold, it's like progressive. You get a couple of days of snivels and things, a little cough and that, and then it starts creeping in.
Oh, he's put a cap on and he's drinking beer out of a can.
Fucking 10p cream soda off Tesco, look.
It's Budweiser, mate. He's lying. Listeners, he's lying.
It's a weak cream soda.
That's the can of Budweiser he's shown.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very nice.
It's living the wild life. Anyway, you got to the word creeping. And then,
talking about... I was saying, you know, normally when you get a cold and it sort of creeps in, you get a couple of days of snivels and a cough and that, and then it goes a bit nuts. I had nothing like that. Thursday, I was perfect. Friday, I felt like I'd been fucking analed by the devil. It was horrific. Honestly, I called into work at like 5 a.m. The guy I called wasn't even out of bed. Do you know what I mean? I was just calling him going, bro, I'm dead. Like, I need to not be there today.
Yeah.
And then I spent a day in bed drinking fucking lemon and honey. Very cute. Because we all know how my vocal cords need treatment. Do you know what I mean?
You know, that's funny you say that because I've got a great story for you. I mean, I say it's a great story. It's
relevant. That's what you mean.
It's good because of the. No, it is relevant. Yeah, it is relevant. It's relevant to what you said just then. Basically, I had my last week of term, the last kind of week of undergraduate degree, you know, seminars, lectures, whatever. And I was in one of the most surreal experiences I've ever had at university, and that's saying something because I've been through some bizarre shit when it's been COVID in that. So basically, I went to this lecture, this female lecturer, you know, normally no problems, whatever, but she had some kind of chest infection, and she was getting over it, and so she wasn't contagious, but she had this, like, her voice sound, she honestly sounded like a man, but like, not just any old man, a man who has been vaping hard for about a decade. You know,
like a Dalek,
like like a Dalek crossed with Gollum. Who's been throat fucked by life, clearly. Anyway, so she was struggling away, but because it was the last lecture ever. For a lot of other people, including myself, because it was a Thursday, and for some reason, some of the girls were getting teary. You know, like teary, like
wet,
kind of emotional or something. Yeah, again, not the word I was going to use, but we'll go with it. I mean, sure, teary. If you equate teary with wet, there's no wonder you have so little luck with women. Like you're crying. Oh, that means
I'll give it a fucking poke. I'll soon stop you crying. Put that fucking pillowcase over your head. Sorry.
Oh, that's not good, is it?
If she let me.
But the sheer juxtaposition of this woman trying desperately to get through a seminar with just a horrible, horrible voice. I mean, it really was hot. It was like nails on a chalkboard. Yeah. That kind of
just give up. Love.
I don't like. Yeah. I don't like listen to this. Just stop, please. You could have just canceled
do it all
the class
on PowerPoint, or whatever.
And then these girls kind of just get teary about, you know, it's the last one ever, and that kind of thing. And then there was also like works going on outside, so drilling in the building.
Fucking noise.
It was just fucking strange, man. It was just like looking from one thing to the next, like a series of vignettes of what I don't want to end up doing later in life. It was bizarre. Honestly, what an indictment of the education system. But it really summed it up when they started crying. I thought, most of you haven't even turned up to most of the lectures this term. Like, no joke, like four of them not even first time I'd seen them. Like, they come along just so that they can say, I had my last lecture today.
Yeah.
Did you? Right. Yeah, Brent. You're still going to be getting piped in Cavan, which is a club later, aren't you? So you're
going to be sitting in a shopping trolley getting fucked by Roger, the local fucking homeless. No problem.
It really pissed me off, man.
Not ideal. So anyway, it was a nice day, was it?
Yeah, so. Yeah, it was all right. I mean, my last seminar ever was actually better.
It's good.
But, I mean, I did not feel any.
I mean, you don't.
Anyway.
You don't come across like the kind of bloke that feels anything normally. Do you know what I mean?
Just run over a child. Well,
just happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, what's the point of getting upset about things that is just? I mean, life
yeah,
carries
those
on,
sort
man.
Of things. They're so mundane. Do you know what I mean? It's a
so minor.
What do you call it? Banality, like, something like that. Like, nothing. It's not like you're never going to see any of these cunts again. You can just go to the cafe with them. Do you know what I mean?
That's right.
You live with half of them. Grow up.
Or you live with them for the next few months anyway. But I mean. It's the same kind of people that at the end of sixth form, you know, wore a white T-shirt so everyone could sign it. It's like, will you sign my T-shirt?
I'll draw a massive
cock
on it.
In fact, no, I will. Turn around. Let me write on your back and you're not allowed to see what it is until I like the country. How about that? Weird, man. People get so emotional about the wrong stuff. And I actually think that it's a symptom of people who have got such skewed priorities. Like, they will go along to the seminar because the last one get emotional, but they won't actually put any of the hard work and graft in because their priorities are all skew with. Like, if they can get upset and emotional about stuff that is utterly banal, unimportant stuff, then when it comes to actually putting in the hard work and the graft in, they can say they're emotionally drained from something else. It's like all the drama people live with in houses or whatever, as long as they've got something else going on in their life that they can put their attention onto, then they can justify to themselves not sitting down and studying.
Yeah. But then, I mean, I think that pays tribute to the, like, you're all still quite young, and a lot of them are still immature. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you're quite mature for your age, I think, as you've always been. Do you know what I mean? Whereas a lot of people, a lot of people are still, like you're saying about, they're getting emotional for no reason about, like, it's the end of, because that's their main thing. That's all they've got going at the moment, is that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Until they get into the real world,
that's all their life
how shit
around.
Everything else is. You can't cry about everything because you'll never stop crying. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean. You,
if I didn't sit here and fucking whinge about shit, if I cried instead, fucking, we'd never have anything to do, mate. I'd just be pouring myself into myself. Be a state of affairs, just an endless fucking
just constantly weeping
bullshit. Yeah.
You imagine that? You just open the door to the postman.
Floods.
You're just sobbing.
I didn't want to bend it.
Just crying.
Fucking grow up.
Menopause or postman.
I mean, there's a few of them where I work, to be fair. You don't need the heating on because there's too many fucking hot flushes. Jesus.
Oh, fuck. I mean, I always felt like becoming a postman was something you did when you had a midlife crisis.
It was either this or buying a sports car, and I didn't have any money.
About 2 decades too early.
Not for my airline,
still
mate.
Still there. Nah, it's true. Away. Well, you got a lot on your mind.
Not a lot
you?
On my mind, ironically.
Just,
yeah.
Just like
brilliant.
Yeah.
Cheers for that.
Yeah, that's how it'd be. That's all right, mate. Yeah.
But I'm on the edge as it is, to be honest. I'm getting there. So, I mean, some days I wake up.
Seriously,
I wake
bro, you
up
need a
and
break.
I stare into the cat's eyes and I think, you're the only reason I'm still here. That's it.
Cool.
And even then, the cat gets up and has a shit. Doesn't care.
Totally unbothered, mate.
Yeah. That's nice. Anyway, should we move on to something a bit more cheery? Yeah.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, no, on a... What the fuck was I just about to say? Jesus. Oh, yeah, I went and looked at another property the other day. So we're sort of creeping down...
Right.
Towards South London, that's where she wants to be now. But I went and looked at a place yesterday, and honestly, it was the worst place I've ever seen in my life. Like, the lady, the estate agent showing me round, right? She turned up 10 minutes late, didn't give a fuck. She tried to let me in. I'm not joking, right? She let me in the front door. Like, it's a block of flats, right? So you've got, like, the buttons and a trade button. So she let herself in the main entrance door.
Yeah.
And it's a ground floor, so she turned immediately right. She put the key in the door, but fumbled about 6 times. Like, you know when you're pissed and you're trying to put a key in the door? It was like that, just scraping everything on the way through.
Yeah.
Bits of fucking paint coming off the door and whatever. She got the key in the door, and she's trying to twist it. And then what it is, it's one of those doors that you've got to twist the key and the handle at the same time to open it, right?
So
she's twisted the key.
Yeah, because you've got two hands.
The key.
Yeah.
And then she's trying to open a thing, and it won't open. And I said to her, my flat door's like this at the moment. You've got to twist the key and the door. She said, no, I know how to. And then, for some reason, she pushed the handle down and literally shoulder barged the door open. Like, we're in a SWAT team, bro. Like, she was going to kick the life out of anything behind that door, no problem. Unbelievable.
Bam, bam, bam!
Better
raiding
fucking
the bando.
Flashbang the gaff and fucking had done with it. Jesus. So anyway, we fucking stormed through the door, right? We fucking bundled in. And then she stood in the hallway and just pointed at doors, right? They weren't even open. She just pointed at doors and went, living room, bedroom, bathroom, kitchen. Job done. Literally couldn't
Amazing.
Give a fuck.
So,
like, couldn't even look me in the eyes, mate. Didn't care. No problem. I might not have even been there to fuck. I might have actually been delivering something. She don't know if I was even there to look round the gaff. Didn't even say hello. Didn't give a fuck.
Yeah,
burst through the door.
She just kicked the door down
stuff.
And started naming
Here's
rooms.
Some stuff. Go look.
Clearly
so anyway, the fact of the matter is, I had a little look round, right? And the bedroom is smaller than the living room. Being what I mean by that is that she said... Oh, if you want, you can put the bedroom here and the living room there. And I thought, I can't fit a sofa in that fucking room, let alone a bed. Where do you want me to sleep? On the floor? In the windowsill, like a cat? Fuck me. And then the shower is like a, it's whoever's living there at the moment is disabled, right? So it's a wet room as opposed to a shower. And she looked me in the face and said, "You can put a shower curtain up if you want, but what's the point?" Brilliant. What's the point? Who gives a shit? Get the whole place wet.
This is a place to rent, not to buy.
And it was like £1,200 a month.
Oh, weird fucking
a lot of money.
Oh, jeez, bro. Honestly, kill yourself. Honestly,
straight in, kill yourself. Just don't worry about it. Kill yourself.
Just fucking don't worry about it, mate. Just end it now. You're paying $1,200 to live in a shoebox.
I could have genuinely said any amount of money, and your answer would have been, "Oh, jeez, kill yourself." It doesn't matter. Does it? £2 a month, kill yourself. Who wants to live there? Kill yourself.
Yeah. It's too much, mate. It's too much, mate. It's London, bro. London prices, mate.
They're
honestly embarrassing. You got people living in. It was one guy I saw on TikTok, not on TikTok, I saw on Instagram. I meant to show you. He's got a TikTok account now. It's quite big. He lives in London. He's called The Skit. I think it's like at The Skit House or something. Basically, what he's done is he's figured out that he can rent a skip permanently from a company, and they let him do whatever he wants to it within reason. So what he did is he rented the skip, and I don't know what it was like. It's like £50 a week or something. And he built a house on it, basically a massive shed on top of a skip, right? That kind of comes out. So it looks like this is really niche, but you know those like square encompasses that you use for finding the stars when you're at sea.
Sure, yeah.
You know, kind of like, it's like this, and then it goes up. Yeah, right. So it's like one of them turned on its upside down, like you can imagine with the skip, so that the sides, the walls come out.
I'm with you, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, he's got this kind of shed, basically, on top of it. He's got a little, like, shower, like, tiny shower, toilet in there, and, like, a sleeping berth, and a little kitchen. And that, and you know, like he's showing you around, and he's saying, "Yeah, I mean, like, I can live here for £50 a week in." And he says, "Oh, you just have to pay for the renting of the ground as well." And he just hooks up to the mains wherever he is. So basically, he gets himself moved around like one of four spots or something every month. Yeah, right. And like he's dressed in the most kind of like artisanal, you know, like art student kind of thing, and he's trying to sell it like he's
like
living
it's the best thing ever. Yeah,
you know, and like, bro, You are living in a bin in London. I mean, it's a cheap bin.
You're paying to live in a skip.
You've got water in this bin. Yeah, but you're look at the side of your fucking house says skip on it.
Literally,
okay. Like you can't play this up like this is when you were 10.
Yeah,
you dreamed of living in a bin, did you? Yeah, oh, mate. Yeah, this would be fun at the end of your garden as a shed. That would be fun for your kids.
That's what it is.
Yeah, right. It would be if someone's like, "Oh yeah, I've got this skip, don't want it, £200, it's yours." You've got that, you put it at the end of your garden, your kids can have a whale of a time, you know, get the other kids around. They'll love it. At 28 years old, should not be loving living in a skip, man. Like this, I don't care how but the fact is that it's so expensive to live in some places that honestly fills people with like joy. I mean, fair enough to the geezer, he's probably, he's saving a lot of money, I'm sure. But like, what state is society in where the people make TikToks? It's like, "Oh wow, that's so cool." Like this whole, I don't know if you've seen much about it, but this whole kind of miniature living, like fad that's taken over, or like van living. People live in vans.
It's like minimalism, but for fucking
that kind of thing. And that's what I mean. Like minimalism is where you have a house and you just don't have a lot of stuff in
it. It's just being a bloke.
These guys are just being hippies, right? But not because they want to save the world or they're getting high all the time or whatever, or because it's just because society is crumbling and it's so decadent to where like the wealth gap is higher than it. It's something similar to, I worked this out the other day. The wealth gap is like basically just under three times what it was at the French Revolution.
Brilliant.
So the wealth gap between like King Louis XVI and the French peasant that led to King Louis getting his head chopped off, most of the French aristocracy and a republic installed, was significantly less than the wealth gap between me or you, or even like people a little bit, you know, higher on the scale than us, and people like Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk.
So what you're saying, pretty let mental. Me get this right, is you want to publicly announce that we should go and slay MPs. That's what I've taken from that.
Yeah, right. That's satire.
Please don't do that, for fuck's sake.
Don't do that. I've said this to a lot of people recently because for some reason it's coming.
Because you keep bringing it up.
Conversation. A lot.
Captain Cheerful.
No, that's not me.
We're poor.
This time it is. Yeah. Other people. But I'm a capitalist, but I'm not a corporatist. Like, no one should be rocking around with that kind of wealth. That's insane. Yeah.
I mean, I totally agree with you. I don't think it's not even that it's fair, but I don't think that I understand the rich get richer and the rich are greedy. That's the way it fucking, if I could make more money than I had time to play with my sack, then I would. Do you know what I mean? But the fact of the matter is, there's people literally eating out of bins. There's a cunt living in a skip. Do you know what I mean? Like, life ain't that bad.
There's some dickhead in Greenwich who's... Yes, I mean, there are people living in bins and pods in China far less nice than that Don living in a bin in Greenwich. I mean, I'm not here to rant about politics. And I'm not saying that you should suddenly seize people's wealth or something. I'm just saying that something's clearly gone wrong. That's fucked. That system is fucked. Where you have people really like overjoyed that they've figured out a way of living for, you know, 200
even
quid
imagine
in
there's
a bin.
Millions of people watching going, that's a brilliant idea. That'll save me money. Jesus Christ. I know there's a
amazing. I
know
that
there's
too.
A fucking cost of living crisis, but it's different when you're not paying any cost to live, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just bizarre, man. I mean, it was the most. This one of the most dystopian things I've seen in a while. Like, it was Orwellian
Mad
type
Max
shit,
job.
Where you see something and you take a step back and you say, right, that's not normal.
Just the idea of a bloke living in a skip.
You shouldn't be enjoying that.
How has it happened?
I know.
Even if you've built a house on top of it, it's a fucking skip. Jesus Christ. Yeah,
it says skip on the side, John. Jeez. I mean, what was worse was that the skip company had clearly allowed him. They had allowed him to write on the side the skip house, like they'd allowed him to spray paint that on, but they wouldn't let him paint the rest of it or something. So the rest of it was still like yellow and rusty.
Well, they don't want to defame it because at some point they know this cat's going to die and they're going to get it back.
they're going to get the skip
house
back
to get blown over in a gale. Like,
and so he posted this video of them moving it for him, you know, moving it somewhere else. And I mean, the guy who was moving the skip was he's clearly called Dave, 62, you know, probably lives in Clapton, you know, just the most London-looking geezer. And I just imagine him sat there in the cab saying, fuck you now, mate.
He's definitely phoned his mate and gone, you'll never fucking guess what's happening here, son. I'm picking up a fucking house inside a skip.
Right.
I go, no, you're not Dave. No, you're fucking not, son. Picks or bullshit.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's... Anyway, that just... was mess. Man. What a weird, weird literally time we live in. I've got a book, and I also have another segment.
Go on, then. Reel me in, Daddy.
Let me get...
so ill-prepared. I mean, let me get the book.
It's here by my feet, you dickhead.
That is beautiful.
There we go.
I'm glad that it's pitch black there, because I can't see a fucking thing, mate.
No problem.
It doesn't matter to me. It's only so I can see more of your atrocious face.
Yeah, you can see me, all right. Stop complaining. I can see you. You can see me. All right. Okay. I'm going to do some ASMR for the intro. He's been fucking reading again.
That was really nice. I nearly got horny. Or crying, I'm not sure. I can't differentiate.
Yeah, I'm going to move on swiftly before you cream yourself. Alright, so this one is... I'm still reading it at the minute.
Well, don't fucking review it then!
Two-thirds of the way through. I don't remember how to talk. So
it's my part now!
Just hush, alright?
Yeah, go on.
So it's called Soul of the Age by Jonathan Bate, and it's, I mean, its subtitle is The Life, Mind and World of William Shakespeare. Oh. So what it really is, I mean, it is about Shakespeare, but it's also about the Elizabethan era, right? So what he's doing is he's showing how the Elizabethan era, which crucial era in English history, and a golden period in English history, because it was really the bridging point between the medieval era and the early modern stage. And it's the early modern era where you start getting really radical new thought. People like John Locke and Hobbes and these guys come in and you start inventing, reinventing democracy in the West. But you have the English civil wars, things like that. So the Elizabethan era laid the intellectual groundwork for those kinds of things to take off. But what he does is he shows through Shakespeare's plays how Elizabethan fears and worries, psyche, their triumphs, their victories were reflected in the mind of the greatest poet of that time. But he also explores a little bit about kind of weird facts about people who were contemporary to Shakespeare. So, or Shakespeare himself. I mean, not many people know this probably, but Shakespeare was nearly kind of forgotten. Like, he was very popular. He'd written it down, and it was, you know, people like Samuel Johnson who repopularized them, but about 200 years later, yeah. there was a big gap where Shakespeare wasn't getting played. And part of that was down to the theatres closing under Cromwell and the Protectorate in the 1640s and 1650. But the point is that a lot of what we consider to be some of the most important things in British history, certainly in that period, are reflected in Shakespeare's work. And a lot of people probably, their only interaction with Shakespeare is at school or something, and they get told to read Macbeth and Hamlet, and think, oh, what the fuck is this all about? You know? But that's not all Shakespeare is. He's not just a playwright. He's a mouthpiece for society of the time. And whilst I love the literature, so if you love the literature, you should read this book because it will give you a new appreciation for Shakespeare's writing. Even if you didn't enjoy the literature at school, you should read this book because it will give you a better understanding of Shakespeare's writing and literature. And it will give you a better all-round view of the average bloke in Shakespearean England, because there is a reason Shakespeare was immensely popular in his own time, and it was because he found a way of transporting people to different places where the fears that they have are played out. And in a safe environment. I mean, that's the paradox of tragedy in a nutshell, is why we enjoy seeing tragedy on stage when we don't enjoy it in our own life. And a big part of that is the Aristotelian concept of catharsis, which is still a word we use today. We call something cathartic. It's like a psychological release of pain or pleasure, whatever it is. But that's the paradox of tragedy. With Shakespeare, a lot of the people in his audience were just, well, most of the people in his audience, 95% were commoners. And this is their only real form of entertainment. But it's not just that. If you're interested in literature as a story of human concerns, or you're interested in literature in Britain, or maybe you're interested in theatre, and how the modern theatre is born, and because Shakespeare was the first person to really stay in one place. So, you know, the Globe was built primarily because of his popularity and the popularity of plays. But before that, the idea of there being like a place in England anyway, obviously there had been theatres and stadiums throughout the ancient world, but in England, what was much more popular was travelling troubadours, travelling bands of actors. And Shakespeare also travelled, but the Globe Theatre became a symbol for this newfound freedom that the poor had to go and
enjoy something,
see these plays. Because London in particular, was getting bigger, and there were other theatres built around the place because more people, these were the beginnings, like the birth pangs of an industrial revolution, because people were living in cities more for a number of reasons. Anyway, that's enough on that, but it's about 400 pages.
Having the context of the Shakespearean era as well is a really big part of it. Because I think in school, it's sort of thrust upon you that this is what you're going to learn, this is what you're going to read, and that's it. You don't really cover much of the understanding behind it. It's just, this is what we're looking at. Whereas if you understand that a lot of theatre, a lot of literature in general is sort of derived from, or, you know, it was like the building blocks, the first stones, as it were, and everyone sort of built on that. Do you know what I mean?
And if this book also gives you a better idea of where Shakespeare drew a lot of stuff from.
That's what I mean, why it was relevant then and now, as opposed to just reading it blindly.
There are some plays, I think a good example is As You Like It, is a Shakespearean comedy that's based almost entirely on The Brothers Menaechmus, which is a play by Plautus, who's a Roman playwright in the 3rd century BC. The Tempest is probably developed from one of Ovid's Metamorphoses, things like that. So Shakespeare had access to, for a lot of Roman literature was translated just before, like 50 years before Shakespeare was born for the first time into English. Well, not necessarily the first time, but the first time
accessible
that was printed. Because that was the invention of the printing press in the 15th century, kind of sparked a renewal of translation. Anyway, and Shakespeare then introduced those kinds of psychological concerns. I mean, for instance, The Brothers Menaechmus is a play about identity, because it's a play about two twins who are separated at birth and eventually end up in the same city, and it's about mistaken identity. But the undercurrent is really about what it means to be a member of society, because one of them is getting rewarded for being like a lazy bastard and the other one's getting punished for it because he's suffering the consequences of the other one, even though they're really meant to represent the same person. And As You Like It is about that as well in Shakespeare. So, but it, you know, literature is such a great lens through which to see how people view things at the time, but there's enough in Shakespeare to really make you have a better understanding of how a lot of human concerns don't change. People are still afraid of the same things as they were 2,000 years ago and will be for another 2,000 years. So I find that comforting myself. But as a book that appeals to anyone interested in philosophy, history, literature, theatre, drama, movies, language, psychology, sociology, even geography. There's very few books that are written so readably about so many different types of things, and politics as well, obviously. So, Soul of the Age, Jonathan Bate.
I would actually like to read that.
Yeah, do, mate. You pick up for a tenner in Waterstones, or probably cheaper on Amazon. And this kind of segues onto this segment that I was
going to... I'm really quite excited, because I have no idea what's about to happen.
So talk about it. So the idea is that each time we tour, I will have a question, and I will give you a bit of a heads up on what the question's going to be. And it'll be a question really about something about history. But it won't just be about something like a specific type of history. It would be a question about history or certain events in history that are of huge importance. And it will be a discussion about what the relevance of that is to our own time, right? Because I've been thinking about ways of just talking about philosophy but not making it boring, and one of the ways I think we can do that is talking through history. So this week we're going to talk about Easter Island.
Oh, what?
Okay, I'm not sure what this segment can be called. I'm thinking something like History Rewritten.
That's a good one.
Moving on.
So this is something that I've I've known about for a while. I did see a clip. I think someone has actually talked about this on Joe Rogan's podcast, but I'm not sure who the name of the guy is. But so Easter Island is, if for people who don't know, obviously just an island in the Pacific. It's very famous for having big-ass stone heads.
Yeah.
Now, what not many people know is that there's a lot of evidence that Easter Island was inhabited.
You'd hope so.
Yeah? But, I mean, people think people know it for the heads, but they don't know it for its history and civilization. So let me just make sure I get this right. So it's an island in the southeastern Pacific Ocean, the southeasternmost point of the Polynesian Triangle. So that's near Chile,
isn't it?
Right. So they reckon that the inhabitants of the island have arrived between about 800 and 1200 AD. It's argued about whether which one or the other one, right? So, but the interesting thing is, Easter Island now, if you look at pictures of it, there is not a tree on it.
Is there not?
Like, there's nothing there. There's just fuck all there apart from puffins. Heads.
I mean, puffins are pretty cool.
And big stone heads, which were... yeah, they are cool. Basically, there's an apocryphal story about why Easter Island, what happened to it. But it comes down to the fact that at one point it was a big trading station. We know that from what we've uncovered. Big area of trading because it's a route around Polynesia. Now, a bunch of people have a theory that eventually they cut down all the trees on Easter Island and they used them up. And the last people that lived on Easter Island were people who had to choose between building boats to go across the mainland or chopping wood for firewood. The theory is that a lot of the people who were on the island died there and resorted to cannibalism because they chose to use the last woods for
firewood, presumably.
For firewood rather than building boats. That's called, I'm just looking it up now, I think that's called the ecocide theory. Basically just a theory that there were plants and trees and animals left over from earlier times on that island that were living up until about 1200, sorry, up until about 1700.
Which is when
they
were about.
Yeah, and then it just fucked. It, you know, it...
I mean, it makes sense. Collapse, I suppose basically. That they were thinking, you know, there's got to be someone's going to save us or something's going to, you know, something's going to happen. We'll just sort of stay here and sustain for now. And when nothing does come to help, then game, set, match, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Because the other thing that we know is in the 19th century, there were still people living on the island and it was a big population. Well, about 3,000 or something, but a lot of them were kidnapped and abducted by Peruvian slave traders, and that also introduced smallpox into the population, which and tuberculosis probably introduced by whalers and that kind of thing, and it would have just decimated the island. So there's a lot of, I mean, but the point of this is, if anybody's interested, go away and look a bit more into the story of Easter Island, because it is really fascinating. The point of this is, if you were stuck in a world where people would rather destroy the resources for the self-preservation of short-term security rather than chance building a boat and going somewhere else. And then my brain started to just think, it's... The story of Easter Island is like a really small vignette of a lot of people's concerns about climate change today, which is that people are afraid that we're burning through resources at such a high rate that they'll never be replenished.
Which is true.
Whatever your opinions on climate change are, I just thought it would be it's an interesting little soundbite from history, which can be compared to the modern day. And really, that's what the point of this segment was intended to be, was things throughout history which have things to tell
things
us today.
Things that we can learn from, as it were.
Yeah, so if you're given the choice between burning fire for warmth or making a boat, what are you going to choose?
I mean, I've always been under the impression that, I mean, let me answer your question first. I would always choose the boat because no matter what happens, even if I didn't know anything about the rest of the world and I'd been born on the island and I've only ever been on the island, I know for a fact that the resources are running out.
Yep.
People are dying all around me. I've got to leave. You've got no choice, surely. I mean, it's one thing to say that all of your family's there, your heritage, blah, blah, blah. But you need to leave because you're going to die otherwise. There's no choice. There's no choice there, surely.
I know. But it's like, you're also, if you don't burn the wood, you might freeze to death.
But not if I build a boat quick enough.
And what do you do?
How long does it take to build a boat? Through kinetic energy. What do I mean?
What if you don't know how to build a boat?
Oh, it's not hard, is it? You just lash a load of logs.
This is where it starts to get... No. Okay, where are you going to get the rope from? This is the interesting thing, right?
So this is part, right. Mangroves.
Use your back hair enough or something.
Of it. Weave all of our hair together.
But it is interesting when you start encountering questions like, so we don't have the technology to do this X, Y, and Z, right? So do we carry on what we're doing until we have that technology, or do we act like we're going to have that technology in 10 years? In which case, if we don't have that technology in 10 years, we're going to screw ourselves because, I don't know, we've let crops deteriorate because basically we've stopped using insecticide based on the idea that in 10 years we won't have to use it anymore. But now we're 10 years down the line and food production is at like 75% of what it was and billions of people are dying. So these kind of questions. So the guy is sat on Easter Island looking at the last few trees and thinking, John, Terry, Dave, any of you know how to build a boat?
Names.
No? All right. Well, then let's burn wood until we figure out how to build a boat. Yeah, but it's
counterintuitive. It doesn't make any sense. Even if you don't have the understanding of how to build a boat, you know that you've got to use the fucking resources you have.
Yeah.
You can't make resources out of there. So don't fucking burn them. Christ.
But the question I'm asking is, at what point do you decide to suck it up? Because you have to suck it up and be cold, basically, whilst you figure out how to build a boat.
That's what we're doing now.
Yeah, no, so I mean, that's you know the...
I mean? We're all on the that's raft the thing. Of hope.
Are we, though?
And we're trying... We're fucking, you know, drowning, trying to save money where we can to build a raft of a better life for our future. Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's there's no specific answer, but I thought you've got to be brave, haven't you?
You've got to. I think what I was going to say is that I've always been under the impression that I could move anywhere, I can live anywhere. I've lived in different countries. I've lived in different parts of the UK.
Yeah.
I've got no problem with just travelling, like, uprooting myself whenever. It's no problem for me, to be honest. I think in the grand scheme, even if I had children and we were supposedly rooted to one place, we could easily still move. Do you know what I mean? It's emotional trauma, but that's all it is. It's not, you know.
Yeah.
But in the same regard, if we're talking about on a grand scale, like the human race, I think while they're doing a lot to sort of attempt to even just find a planet that we could live on, that we could, you know. But the problem is, we've got this technology to be able to look in a billion years away, or you know, a million billion light years away. But we don't have the technology to be able to island hop. We don't have the technology to be able to build a fucking base on the moon and sustain there. Why are we looking ridiculously billions of years away when we're never going to be able to make it there? Do you know what I mean? And we'll never build a ship or a raft large enough to carry enough people to carry on populating until we reach the place either.
No, I know.
It's just pointless. isn't it? Why don't we just save the fucking thing we've got?
Yeah, stop spending money on the space exploration. Just put that money into getting rid of all of the plastic in the ocean, which is a very achievable goal. Just get rid of that massive drift of plastic in the Pacific Ocean, you know, that huge section of the Pacific Ocean that's just like covered in plastic because it's all drifting into one place.
There's one thing, isn't it?
Like the Great Float or something?
It's millions of kilos of plastic.
Just get rid of that for a start.
Conglomerated.
That's fucking horrible. Just get rid of it.
But even things like, I mean, the idea of electric cars, it's annoyed me that it's not coming in quicker. I mean, it's a brilliant thing. Don't get me wrong. I love the idea of it. But it's annoyed me that car companies, of course, it's difficult because they've got to change all their manufacturing and blah, blah, blah. But if it's sustainable for the planet, just fucking change it. Do you know what I mean? I know that you're making billions of pounds doing what you're doing anyway, but just change it.
You know, I mean, until you find a way of refining lithium and cobalt, without using diesel, though, you're
that's
not.
That's the other thing, isn't it? The batteries are fucked on it.
You're not going to. There's no benefit. Yeah. So there's no ecological benefit to it until you can do that. It's just cheaper for people now, and things are getting burnt less here. But in India or China or Namibia, where they make the batteries, things are getting burnt more.
The Congo, I've understood, has got a lot of lithium deposits. Going off piece a little bit, but a guy I work with is Congolese. And he said that he was. He's been in the army for a few years, right? And essentially, all they did was fight militia and fight like these land pirates that just go and take over mines and things like lithium mines. They would just go and take it over, slave people, and then the army'd have to be sent in to sort them out, and then. The other, you know, it's the same everywhere, man. Every war, it's like just a PR fight. So obviously, then all of the people that are caught up in the crossfire are going, well, the army's bullshit. They shouldn't be getting involved. The government's fucking us, and then they don't realise that it's actually these people that are causing the issue, and they're just caught up in the middle of it. You know, it's not fair.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's completely off topic. Sorry. I'd build a boat, mate.
That's all right.
Build a boat. Fuck it off. Why don't you spend some time chasing your dreams rather than watching the fucking telly? So this week,
fuck me.
I've watched a program called Lockwood & Co., which has just come out on Netflix recently. Right?
Oh yeah.
It's about some ghost hunters. They all have different abilities, of course.
Would you watch some shit?
Some real dribble, to be honest with you. But they all have different abilities. So some people can see ghosts. Some people can just hear them or feel them. But it's all about spirits that have been murdered. They're like murder victims, and they have a little go at some humans, have a little nibble and that. If they touch you, you basically die. You go into a coma for forever, I think. I don't know. I can't remember it. Anyway, there's a few recognisable faces as side characters, but the main characters are all like kids, so you don't really know them. But it is quite good, to be fair. It's surprisingly enjoyable. It's 8 episodes, 50 minutes ago. It's essentially like, I know they're releasing another series, so I'm looking forward to it. But, I mean, it was a little while ago that I watched it. This is a problem. But I mean, it was good. It was one of those, like, you could sort of write the script yourself and you sort of knew what was coming, but equally, you know, it was enjoyable. It was nice. I mean, it clearly hasn't made much of an imprint on me. Right. But, 8 out of 10. Yeah.
8 out of 10.
I mean, it was good enough that I'd put 8 out of 10, so it must have been all right. Go watch it.
Yeah.
Let me just look it up. So it was, it's a TV series. It's been released in 2023, so it's pretty close. Pretty new, sorry. A girl with psychic abilities joins two teenage boys and the ghost hunting agency Lockwood & Co. to fight the deadly spirits plaguing London, doing their bit to save the day without any adult supervision. So the whole point of it is they're not meant to chase ghosts without adults, and, you know, because things get terribly real terribly quickly. The main protagonist, the main girl in it, of course, you know, she's born and they don't think she has any powers, and all of a sudden she's like the top fucking tier of ghost hunter. And then essentially she joins this like prestigious school, doesn't quite work out for her because the teacher, you know, forces them to go in and sort out this like level 10 ghost, and they're only like rookies, you know what I mean? It all goes a bit wrong. Her mate gets fucked up a bit. The rest of them die, I think. And then she goes into London to try and find another agency, but no one will take her because she's had a terrible time with this proper agency. So she turns up at this like newspaper article, joins their little squad. All goes well in the end. That's it. Yeah.
Okay, mate. Sounds good.
Yeah.
I'll give it a look.
And, for everyone listening, happy Easter. Enjoy your egg hunts.
Yeah, happy Easter. That was, sorry, I didn't really make that point, but the reason I was looking at Easter, the reason I said Easter Island was because it's Easter.
Oh, fuck me. It all ties up in the end, doesn't
interesting.
It?
Interesting. Yeah, it does.
Good. All right. Toodles. Bye.
See you later, bro.